We hear of tragic stories in the news almost every day, whether it's a natural disaster, an illness, or senseless killing, like the six innocent people that were murdered in Hialeah this past week. I'm sure you recall the tornado that hit Moore, Oklahoma back in May. It was an EF5, one of the strongest hurricanes you can have, and it devastated the whole city, basically. Well, parents rushed home to their children's schools, hoping to find that their child was okay. And sadly, some did not survive. Many lost everything that they owned, their house, their car, their clothes, personal belongings, family pictures. I remember seeing two separate newscasts where they were interviewing one of the survivors, and they talked about their dog, and they said, "I just hope that our dog made it," because they hadn't found the dog yet. And then while they were saying that, you saw something in the background kind of clawing its way in the rubble, and there it was, the family dog had survived. Well, the attitude of these residents in Moore, Oklahoma, was one that we will rebuild. Another ongoing tragedy that you've heard about is about a 10-year-old girl named Sarah Murnigan. And back in May, Sarah needed a lung transplant or she would die within days. And Sarah's parents were doing everything they could in the hopes of saving their daughter's life. Finally, a judge ordered a stay to the current organ donor recipient rules, which prohibited Sarah from getting an adult set of lungs. The clock was ticking. Unfortunately, in order for Sarah to get this set of lungs, someone else had to die. Well, on June 12th, Sarah received her lungs. But the joy and the relief was short-lived because her body rejected those lungs. A second set of donors were high risk because they were infected with pneumonia. A healthier patient may have waited for a better set of lungs. But Sarah was out of time. The Murnigan family wrote, "They were Sarah's best and only hope." Well, as you can see, hope is playing a vital part in the lives of the people in these stories. But what is hope? Is it merely just wishful thinking? Is it an attitude of optimism? Or is it something else? And what happens when things that you hope for don't come to pass? Do you get discouraged? How do you deal with that type of disappointment? Do you give up and quit? Or do you carry on with a real hope that comforts you and comforts them? Well, this morning we're going to explore how to keep hope alive. So what is hope? Well, I have a couple of definitions here for you. The first definition is, hope is a feeling that what is wanted can be had. Now, if you're a young person just starting out in life, you often hear them talking about their hopes and dreams. Another definition for hope is a feeling that events will turn out for the best. In other words, everything will be okay. Well, is hope just a feeling or an emotion? Or are there grounds or a basis for people to have hope? Well, every week you can hear somebody say at work, "I hope I win the lottery." This type of hope is wishful thinking. Someone else may say, "I hope I get the job." And perhaps they have a real chance at it because they educated themselves and they worked diligently to achieve it. This is another definition, another example of hope. It's a feeling of desire for something and confidence in the possibility of its fulfillment. What are some of the things that you hope for? Are they frivolous in nature, just things and stuff? Or are they matters of life, such as good health, praying for healing of an illness, or seeing our children do well? Is it wishful thinking? "I sure hope I lose weight." Or are you confident that it will come to pass because I'm dieting and exercising? Are you an optimist? Is your glass half full? Or do you see the negative in everything? In other words, your glass is always half empty. Well, what makes hope real? Well, one more definition, and that is the definition that I want to focus on now for the sermon, and that is hope is an expectation that is based on truth. I'll repeat that. Hope is an expectation that is based on truth. And this is the hope that we need and must keep alive. Well, the first step to keep hope alive is vision. We're all familiar with Proverbs 29:18, so we won't turn there, but I'll quote it. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he." In the New King James Version, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint." The literal translation of the Bible ends that verse by saying, "But blessed is he, the one keeping the law." Well, hope begins with vision. And vision is the ability to see beyond the moment. Vision is the big picture. So what is your vision? Or better yet, what is God's vision? Well, God's vision is for us to be his children. So let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. And I will try to let you have time to get to the scripture. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We are to be God's children. To be God's children, we must be transformed. And God accomplishes this as we face the various challenges along our journey of life to create that perfect, righteous character of God in us. So hope is the expectation of vision. The second step is truth. Hope must be based on truth. John 17:17 tells us that we are set apart by God's truth. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 goes on to explain, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Lies and deceptions produce false hope, hope that is a counterfeit, hope that is temporary. If something is fake, a partial truth, or a complete lie, hope will fail. I'd like to share a little story with you from my elementary days, quite a while ago. But back in the day, we had some really cool prizes that we would get out of our breakfast cereal. That was before we had to worry about, you know, swallowing it and getting choked. Well, my prize was this cool Batman ring. And you probably remember them. They had just a plastic ring, but it had like a special kind of picture that if you turned it just right in the light, it would be one image. You turn it another way, it's another image. And I think the images was like the bat signal and maybe the face of Batman. Well, there was a kid at school. I was in first grade. And he saw my ring, and he proceeded to tell me a tale that his dad had a whole box of these rings and that he would be happy to give me some of them. So every day, we'd stop and talk, and we'd talk about the rings. And there was always an excuse. Oh, we're counting them. Oh, we're sorting them, this or that. Well, finally, I woke up, and I realized that there was no box of rings, that my hope had been based on a lie. Well, once I realized that, we quit being friends. Now, you say, okay, I was only six, you know. But I just wanted to share this example with you that my hope was based on a lie, and it failed, and the relationship ended once that happened. However, the stakes today are life and death when it comes to God's truth and our salvation. Well, Mr. Armstrong often likened the basic and core truths of God to the trunk of a tree. He would admonish us to stay close to the trunk, not to climb out on the limbs too far with speculation, and especially don't rely on the twigs to hold you up. Those twigs, your own pet ideas or ideas of others. Yet today, too many of God's people have believed in twigs, lost hope, and fallen out of the tree. If hope is based on twigs, it will also fail. Therefore, we must hold on to the trunk. Again, we're all familiar with 1 Thessalonians 5:21. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. The New King James Version says, test all things. And once you've proven something and tested something, we are to hold on to it. Don't let someone try to talk you out of it or confuse you. That is Satan's MO, his mode of operation. Slick words. Satan told Adam and Eve, you won't surely die, and they believed him. If you have questions, seek counsel. As we read in Proverbs, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So let's look now at a few of God's basic truths for us to remember. First, who and what is God? God is not a Trinity. God is a family. Why were we born? Because God is reproducing himself, and we are our Father's begotten children. We have the Ten Commandments, all ten of them. They are the foundation for God's law. The Sabbath and the holy days. This outlines the plan of God's salvation. And we have the gospel, the good news of God's coming kingdom to this earth. We are also ambassadors for Jesus Christ and citizens of heaven. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. And it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And then if we turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, we read the second half. Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And both of these scriptures are very comforting when we look around and see the condition of our country and this world and its decline. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, another scripture we're all familiar with. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. A truth to hold on to. Isaiah 55 and verse 9 says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways, in other words, God's ways, higher than your ways, man's ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, we must focus on God's truth and not man's truth. And then finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8, we can turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. And it says, love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Things of this world will fail, but God's love will never fail. People may disappoint us, but again, God's love will never fail. So God's truth makes hope sure. The third step to keep hope alive is thankfulness. Being thankful strengthens our hope. Another memory that I have from Mr. Armstrong is that he was always saying and reminding us, give God the credit. Be thankful for who God is. Be thankful for God's love. Be thankful for the blessings in our life, because it's easy to take things for granted. And if we're truly thankful, we will not be discouraged when trials do come. We will have the hope and the courage to face them. Let's turn now to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth or on the earth. Then dropping down to verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Be thankful for God's church. Be thankful for our congregation. Be thankful for each other. We need to remember to be thankful. Well, we've seen how vision, truth, and thankfulness strengthen our hope. Now let's take a look at hope, the expectation that awaits us. We're going to read several scriptures, so a little bit of aerobics workout now, but I'll try to go slow. And we want to recap what the hope or the expectation is that the particular scripture embodies. The first one is John chapter 16, verse 33. This is one of my favorite verses. John chapter 16, what Jesus Christ said shortly before his death. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." The hope here is encouragement. The hope that we can survive and that we can and will overcome. Let's turn now to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we'll read in verse 2, beginning in verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." The hope we can take away from this verse is that we can expect to experience joy when we've developed a quality of God's character. Next scripture is Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us." Our hope is our expectations become more sure as we comprehend God's glory and who God is. Turn just a few more pages to chapter 12 of Romans. Chapter 12 of Romans, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Dropping down to verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." And then in verse 12, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Here we can realize that the hope, the expectation is that our character can be transformed into God's character. Just a few more pages to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. Here we read, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Our hope that the Bible is God's word. Dropping down to verse 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Our hope is that we have the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, these are all examples of how hope plays a part in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we will begin in verse 9. I think this is one we commonly even use in our daily life if we're cooking something in the kitchen and it's time to get a sample. You know, if you're doing part of the work, you want to get, you know, something to eat while you're doing that work. It says, "For it is written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain." Is it oxen God is concerned about? Or does he say it altogether for our sakes? Well, the answer is for our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he who plows shall plow in hope, and he who threshes in hope should be partaker in his hope. Our hope, our expectation is that God has deep love and concern for us, and he will share eternal life with us. Let's turn to now 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just a few more pages. And we'll begin reading this time in verse 19. It says, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards those are Christ at his coming." What is the hope? The hope is there is a resurrection from the dead. Let's turn back to Romans again, this time chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin in verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Dropping down to verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Our hope, our expectation is that one day we will be changed from flesh to spirit. Just a few more. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. Galatians 5 and verse 5. "For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Our hope is God's righteousness versus our own self-righteousness. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Our hope is our calling is from God. And that calling is very special. All right, let's go to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 1. And this time we're going to read verse 5. Colossians 1 and verse 5. I know it's here somewhere. Okay, Colossians 1 and verse 5. "Because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." The hope we have that we can draw from this one scripture is that our reward is safe and secure. Let's turn now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. Everyone keeping up, I hope. "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Our hope is faith and love protect us along the path to salvation. And then let's turn to Titus, Titus chapter 1. Just a few pages. Titus chapter 1. And we'll read verse 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Again, our hope is eternal life with God, something that we can count on, an expectation. And then finally, a scripture we're all familiar with. You can turn there if you would like, or I will just read it, but that's 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where we commonly just say, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear. Well, the hope here is hope itself. That our expectations, the hope that we have, is real. Well, what keeps hope alive? Today we've seen how vision, truth, and thankfulness strengthen our hope. We need the vision or revelation from God to see the big picture. We need truth to ensure hope, our expectation, will come to pass. And we need to be thankful to learn how to give and how to love. Finally, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Well, as we look around the world and we look at all the tragedies that surround us, we realize that society's hope may last for a season. But when the expectation doesn't happen, disillusionment will follow. However, real hope, the expectations that are backed by the full faith of God our Father, is like the tree of life. So let's remember the many reasons for the hope that lies within us.